Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart,
every symbol, every story is a breadcrumb trail.
The healing power of your dreams is coming through the night, turning broken pieces into wings, turning shadows.
The miracle while you sleep, turning broken pieces into wings. Am I the wings there, Kelly?
You are the wings. You are the voice, Teresa. You missed your calling.
Voice. I did. Yes.
Damn good.
The theme today is the miracle of your dreams and of life itself. And dreams, they appear from nowhere, don't they, Kelly? They ignore the rules, they create impossible worlds, and then vanish before we've had a chance to ask, wait, what was that all about? And actually, I think our radio show is becoming like that. You see, when Kelly and I began, we thought we were steering it, didn't we, somehow?
Yeah, we did. But then the show has just kind of taken the wheel into its own dreamy hands. And that's how we love it. There's the ego part of me that likes to think I'm in control. But the bigger creative part of me is like, no, I think the dreams know better. So, and it's like that with creativity. Yeah. We want to have everything all mapped out. But no, the ideas arrive when we stop forcing and we get into the river and just flow, which is very much about dreams.
Yeah.
Dreams don't follow a script. They create the script. And if we're smart, we'll follow it.
Yeah. And our show has taken on a dream life all of its own, Kelly, especially since you joined, a bit like Frankenstein.
Oh, I resemble that remark. Thank you.
Which, of course, was a novel born from a vision in a dream that the author Mary Shelley had, didn't she?
Absolutely. Yes, our dreams. So if anybody ever is a writer trying to come up with anything, your dreams don't have writer's block. If anything, they have the opposite problem. They have way too many ideas, like a fire hose. Every night, our unconscious mind is directing films, composing music, creating and inventing worlds that would make Hollywood completely jealous. So not bad for something we often wake up and dismiss as, that was just a dream.
You're so right, Kelly. It's a cure for any kind of block. Write down your latest dream or listen to this live show as
right,
it's designed to make you feel like you are lost in a dream. Reality checks are required. As Charlie Morley, actually the world's lucid dreaming expert who was on last week, said when he joined the show, didn't he? He said that.
His exact quote was, "This is the most bizarre and dreamlike show I have ever been on." And he's been on a lot of shows. So Teresa, I don't know. I think our work is done. I'm feeling good about that. We've outdone Charlie Morley. So I think that in history is full of creative people who also knew the value of dreams. Like, oh yeah, let's just name drop a little, like Salvador Dali. Mm-hmm. He transformed dream imagery into unforgettable art. Sir Paul McCartney, he woke up with the melody of Yesterday. Shall I hum it? Scrambled eggs. Oh my darling, how I love your legs. So yeah, he changed the lyrics, but great song. So our dreams don't wait for inspiration. They are our inspiration, right, Teresa?
Oh, Kelly, I love that, you know, that Charlie said, this is the most bizarre radio show I have ever
We have to put that on our, it's like, I don't
be.
Know, that
it's
needs to go
be.
In our branding.
Yeah, but let's current now, as this show does like to feel that it's very cool and cutting edge too. Christopher Nolan, the movie director,
Yes.
has openly spoken
Ooh.
about how his dreams inspire his films, Inception, of course,
Love
from
him.
Inception onwards. And with his latest epic, The Odyssey, about to hit the screens, he continues exploring those fascinating places where imagination and reality meet. And I also love one of his creative choices, which I believe he doesn't own a mobile phone, Kelly. And I know you've got something you
Right.
want to share about that.
Oh, I know, I know. Well, first of all, I love that The Odyssey is coming out. I think it comes out tomorrow. So if people are watching or listening in real time, you just go see it. I'm going to be seeing it date weekend this weekend. Yes, so Christopher Nolan said no phones, and that's awesome. That happened to me, but on accident. I had my phone and laptop stolen when I was on a trip, a service trip in Colombia. When I arrived, my bag was stolen. So I had to go through a month. It was awful. I mean, having anything stolen is traumatic, totally traumatic. But the upside of it was for 1 month, I had no phone and no laptop. I had to be present with my life, and my dreams were even more vivid. I had even greater dream recall. So there's something about, I think because I see everything as a dream, I realized that I had been the thief that had stolen my attention. So that thief had to take it away from me so that it could give me a wake-up call. Now I'm not as beholden to my phone and laptop as I was before. We all should be so lucky to get our things stolen.
And I love that because this ties into the theme of today's show. And our special guests, of course, are all creators who have turned
Yes.
their imagination, their phoneless imagination, into reality.
Right.
But just before we meet them, Kelly, I know that dreams inspire your work, and guide your creativity. And talking about unlocking creativity, your best-selling, New York Times best-selling title, I believe, Dreamifesting. Anyone should
Thank
read
you,
that
Teresa.
actually to unlock their
Yeah.
creativity.
I
But
would say different than you, because I think your book, Nightborn, it came from a dream, and so many of your books have been directly out of dreams. I've done kind of the opposite, where my books are filled with dream stories. Like Dreamifesting is filled with my stories, my clients' stories, and stories of people that I know that have gone in there. So Dreamifesting, just like Nightborn,
yeah, but
people will
Nightborn's a
read.
novel, isn't it? Nightborn.
Nightborn is your novel, and it's brilliant. And I think Barnett Bain needs to make it into one of his next movies. I don't mean to like pitch. I don't mean to make people uncomfortable, but it's made for a film. So if people are having a dream drought, they just simply need to read Dreamifesting, certainly Nightborn, in order to get their
How about
dreams back.
Tangent
And your
Dreams?
newest book,
They can read my dream dictionary and Extreme Dreaming coming up, and
Extreme
Nightborn
Dreaming, that's coming right
alongside
up.
Dreamifesting and your 21st Century Dream Dictionary. Anyway, enough about the Dream Divas. We always do
Enough
make it
about
about
me.
us.
Let's talk about me.
Tangle.
Oh, wait. Okay. We've got guests on our show. Okay. That's right.
But
Let's
people
talk
do
about them.
often say to me, "Well, I'm not creative. You know, how do you do so many
Right.
books?" And what we tell them is, you are creative because every night in your dreams, you're composing music, you're coming up with bizarre plots and scenarios. Everybody is a creative, a visionary in their
It's
dreams, aren't they,
so
Kelly?
true. It is so true. There's just like pa Pablo Picasso said, every child is creative. The truth is, everybody dreams, so everybody is creative. And I think this show is going to really inspire people. And why do you think that is, Teresa?
Because we're trying to resemble the dream state here by people never knowing what comes, because in a dream, you never know what's coming next. And people have
So
said
true.
that. We have
So
no
true.
idea what's going to come next on the show. But I'm going to tell you what's coming next, because our
Oh,
guests
God.
are coming next. Because
Yes. Oh,
each one of
yes.
them has taken something invisible, a feeling, an image, a melody, an idea, and transformed it into something the rest of us can experience. Today, we're traveling through the creative worlds of film, music, storytelling, and manifestation. Different creative paths, one powerful source, the dreaming mind, because we're all dreaming beings, aren't we? That's what connects us. So let's begin with someone whose own creative dreams have inspired audiences around the world. I'm so thrilled he's
I
here.
know.
First guest is
Okay.
none other than another of Kelly's awesome dream-inspired colleagues. So, Kelly, over to you to do the introductions.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about my friend Barnett Bain. He is an award-winning filmmaker. author and teacher, actually Academy Award, because What Dreams May Come won an Academy Award. So he is also a teacher and an author. He explores themes of creativity, connection, and the human spirit. His film credits include the Oscar-winning What Dreams May Come, Outstanding TV Movie Emmy nominee, and Homeless to Harvard, Eckhart Tolle's Milton's Secret, and Jesus, translated into 2,245 languages and often cited as the most widely seen film in history by the New York Times. His new book, How to Be a Friend in an Unfriendly World, which grew out of a Columbia University master's course he created for psychologists. So our co-presenter Amy Robbins will be very interested in this. This book offers a heartfelt guide to practicing friendship in all its forms. His website, by the way, is Barnett Bain. Let's get that in there right away. Barnett, Barnett, Bain, BAIN.com. BarnettBain.com.
And I'm doing my reality checks again, Kelly.
Pinch,
Barnett,
pinch.
what a thrill. And I love that your latest book is about friendship because, of course, dreams are our best friends. I believe, I think they are a friend trying to call our name every single night. Just to go back in time, I know you've moved on from that, but What Dreams May Come remains one of the most visually breathtaking explorations of dreams, love, and the human spirit ever brought to screen. Many people continue to be passionate about it and for good reason. And looking back, that film did invite audiences to imagine worlds beyond what we think is possible. But your work has now continued to evolve from filmmaking into teaching, creativity, spirituality, and your stunning new book, How to Be a Friend in an Unfriendly World. I'd love to ask you this before Kelly does her deep dive. When you look back at the journey from What Dreams May Come to where you are right now, what do you think you were really exploring all along, and how has your understanding of the power of imagination and human connection changed?
What a wonderful question. Thank you. First of all, thank you for dreaming me here. That film asked a big question: what holds us together when everything else is gone? And so years later, I realized that for most of us, the real world answer is relationships. But it's a skill that we're rarely taught. So I thought I would make a deep dive into it. I realize I've been diving into it for my whole life, but I never did it with purpose and with consciousness. Have you seen anything like that play out in your own life?
Oh, yes. But I found that the biggest relationship, first of all, is the one with yourself, and you do explore that in the book as well.
Absolutely.
Kelly, I know.
I want to talk. I want to. There's one part of the book that really stood out to me, in How to Be a Friend in an Unfriendly World. There's so many questions I have for you, but I was struck. I love metaphors. Our dreams speak in metaphors, and your book is filled with them. There's the metaphor of like the pain, because if we didn't have a, so I just found out that from the Surgeon General, it's been declared that there's a loneliness epidemic right now as we speak. It started during COVID and it's continued. So people are suffering and struggling. People have never felt more friendless. And in many ways, it's because of pain that comes up that gets triggered in friendships and then it's just over. So you said something in the book about the sunburn. Like you walk into a party with a sunburn that nobody can see, somebody pats you on the back. So can you talk a little bit about that pain that's underneath that gets triggered? I get chills when I think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say two things about that if I can. So for the
Please.
sunburn, yes. Most of our responses to the things that trigger us in life are old thoughts and they're old feelings, and they're very rarely about now. If I'm standing in the middle of the road and a lorry is coming in at me, that's about now. But usually something comes up that is
So
the same,
British.
or I lived there for many years. Something that is the same or similar or familiar to something from our past, for the most part, we're not even generally aware of it. But the body, the body remembers everything. And so somehow from the hard drive of the body comes this response that is an old feeling and an old thought. Like, so, when you when you clap somebody on the back and they yelp in pain, it's usually not from the clap. It's usually from the sensitivity of the sunburn that's baked in. So that was what that metaphor was about. But what I also want to add briefly is that nobody ever taught us how to be a friend. We're taught how to say please and thank you when we're little. We're taught how to share when we're, a little bigger. Later, we're taught how to succeed and strive and to compete. And we're taught all the strategies to create separation between us, but we're never modeled the skills to how to respond when feelings are hurt and how to behave when a relationship you care about is distancing away. And there are skills, and they're not much valued anymore, certainly not in this country. There are practical skills, and we don't have models for it in the same way that we did once upon a time.
I agree. I mean, when friendships break up, there's no kind of etiquette. People don't quite, this phenomenon of ghosting and, difficult, because when, romantic relationships break up, there's a whole network of a support often in place. But when friendships, it's just as important. Do you agree, Barnett, that the dream work, because obviously making friends with your dream, which is your inner self, can really help, though, you be a better friend to other people as well? Because if you're not a friend to yourself, how can you be
Well,
a friend to others?
absolutely. I mean, how does when people say, just love yourself or be a friend to yourself, what does that even mean? It's just a divine.
It's so abstract.
We can drill down and we can deduce from our dreams I feel that dreams are metaphors, and so is life. I treat my life in the same dreamy way. Often I can't tell, did that happen to me or did I dream it? And
He's one
so,
of us, Teresa.
he's one of us, one of us. And on that note, because I'm looking at
Oh, let him finish what is he's got. He was about to say something,
you want to use it to discover the nature of your thought patterns and the nature of your belief system. And when you become close and tender with that, we begin to have more choices in life. We're not run automatically.
Absolutely. You've given us much to reflect on and dream about. And after a conversation like that, Kelly, there's only one thing we can say. Don't stop dreaming.
Hold on to that feeling. That's our little way of saying we've got a probably a dream song coming up. Oh, our album's coming out. Just kidding.
Dream
We don't
Diva,
have an
sing
album.
classic album.
It will come with a warning label, but we will be going to a commercial. So
Hey, Kelly.
hold
No,
that dream.
hold
Okay, you
that
can say it,
dream.
Teresa. Go ahead. We'll see
She
you on the
gets
other
it
side.
wrong every week. Hold that dream, Kelly.
We'll see you on the other side. And that's a cut.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.org. www.thehealthradio.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Don't wake up, dreamers. We want you to stay in our Dream Diva Dream Lab a little longer and do a reality check because you probably are dreaming. And Teresa and I are here with legendary dream maker, filmmaker, friend to us all, Barnett Bain. So Barnett, I want to get a little personal, if I may. So I like to consider myself a good friend. I've got friends from elementary school, junior high school that I'm still in touch with. I've got girlfriends that I've known for like beyond high school, 35 years that we gather. And so I think of myself as a good friend, but there are some people that are out of that I have fallen out of connection with, let's just say, that it's been an unrepairable kind of thing. And it's so painful. It's just, I could fewer than what I could count on one hand. But when I read that part of your book, in the beginning of the book, you talk about this bubble. And I think it's another one of those dream metaphors that you need to talk about, you need to share. But it made me think, oh shit, am I just being in my damn bubble? Oh my God, do I have more work to do on myself? Barnett, help me. I need you to do some therapy on my friend aches. So tell us about the bubble.
The bubble. So many years.
Damn ago, bubble.
The damn bubble. You know, the bubble's not such a damnable thing. It's just a natural thing. I was walking near a park at a park near my home, and I saw a street performer, and he was making these huge soap bubbles, these incredible bubbles, and he would wrap them around himself, and anyway, for his pièce de résistance, he created this enormous bubble and stepped into it. And something clicked in me, and I realized this is what I do. This is what we all do. We create these bubbles, and we operate inside them. And these are bubbles of our thoughts and our beliefs and our system and our choice-making and our decisions and our attitudes. And for the most part, they're hand-me-down. Most of them are not original with us, but some of them we modify. And you know, we're always, at least I'm always looking, scanning for somebody, for situations that affirm where I already am. And so right. when we come up against other people that are in a similar kind of bubble, we relate. And if the bubble is too different, we push away, or even worse, make the other people invisible. And I thought, I can't be ever free of a bubble, but I can expand it. But I can't begin to expand it until I understand it. And you know, referring back to where we were before the break, yeah. What is, you know, I asked myself the question, what is it to know oneself? What is it to love oneself? And for me, it begins with teasing apart, looking for clues to what are the structures of my bubble. And one really clear way to do it is, you know, when you're pushing away from somebody or triggered by somebody else or there's friction, you know, I like to ask myself, what is it that I believe about things that that makes me uncomfortable or right or wrong? And if I can learn to just be with it without reacting, just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit more every time, my bubble becomes larger. I become better equipped. And that's one of the beauties of friendship. Friendship is, it's one of life's great teachers. It calls us, it has the potential to call us to grow and to encourage and generosity and wisdom.
Well, we're on the subject of expanding bubbles. This show is all about mirroring the dream state, shifting scenes, shifting voices and perspectives. I love that, Barnett. Just hold that dream, stay with us, because joining our conversation is someone who understands what we're talking about beautifully. JJ Flowers is an award-winning screenwriter, playwright and author who has spent her career turning imagination, insight, and inspiration into stories that touch the heart. Her work spans film, theatre, fiction, and spirituality, including her latest title, The Spiritual Dog. I mean, when we're talking about friendship, you have to talk about our beloved pets, don't we? Dogs as emissaries of unconditional love and healing. JJ, I believe that's Jennifer Jo. Welcome. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm going to just dive right in with a question. Do your dreams ever arrive like your dogs do, with a message, a feeling, or a knowing? And how has those inner and intuitive experiences shaped the stories, the creative stories you are bringing to the world?
Well, dreams, there's a spiritual aspect to dreams that is primary. And I do dream analysis. And while I have had mind-blowing dreams, I find most of my dreams are ho-hum. So I like analyzing other people's dreams. But I just see most things from a spiritual perspective, including dreams and our dogs. I guess, you know, for everybody here, we understand that we incarnated on Earth and went from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. And once we do that, we understand that almost everything that shows up, and certainly our dreams, are here for us, to trigger the greater awareness of who we are spiritually.
Beautiful. Kelly, I know you want to jump in.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Pearl actually really wants to jump in.
No,
Pearl
I have
is like
to.
Wanting
I have
to usurp.
Margarita, have you got Ragnar? Amy? This is going to be great for YouTube. Barnett?
So, I know. No
I'm
pressure.
I'm looking for a dog.
You can borrow Pearl. Pearl would love you after she barks your head off. But JJ, I so was appreciating your book, The Spiritual Dog. And also I poked around at this, the spirituality of animals and diet. And I've been like a closeted vegetarian because I don't want to make anybody ever feel bad. But I feel like you emboldened me when you really learn to love animals. It's kind of hard to like eat them. So I really love that you're out there and you do that. So how do, let's see, when we look at our dogs, they're doing this little thing and we know there's more going on when they're sleeping, when they're dreaming. What's going on with our dogs?
Well, it's really fun to look at your dog, someone you love and know on a very deep and intimate level, and to imagine that that dog was specifically designed for you. And then that opens the doors to, why did I get this dog?
Right.
And I'm a lifelong yogi, and so I have an understanding of the human energy system, the chakra system. Dogs also have a chakra system. And what many people don't understand about their dogs is that when you start loving on your dog, your chakra systems start pairing. And this creates the energetic connection you have with your dog. It does so many things. I mean, each chakra you could analyze, but basically, because time is short, I'll just say that basically, dogs will amplify what's positive in your life, love, laughter. They get us off the couch and into the wider world. And the only trouble comes is with negative emotions. Yeah. Because dogs will absorb negative fear and anger and anxiety. We all know the stress case has a nervous dog. That's just a famous stereotype. But so they absorb it and they do very well at it. They're masters at helping us mitigate those negative emotions. But as they If it becomes too much, you will find it shows up in a behavioral problem or in disease. Thank you,
JJ,
JJ. That's
I
last
T
so
Teresa, before we switch
exciting.
over to to do
I
the
just wanted to
whatever, I
say
just
something. I must say
yes,
something.
go
It's
for it.
just bubbling over,
Yes,
Kelly.
yes, yes.
I read somewhere recently about dogs are our unborn children because they're so eager to meet us, they jump through the wrong portal in the afterlife. I
Oh,
just think that's so beautiful. That's just a
I love
beautiful
that.
thought.
That's a beautiful
And
perspective.
Barnett, before we bring in Matek, do you think though that because dogs are the ultimate friend, that we've kind of given up on our own species when we become very dog-centric?
I think any place that we can love and grow is any way we can express it is healthy and beautiful. I agree
Yeah.
with that. And if you thought this conversation was reaching the heights of creativity, reality checks again, because we're now beaming in someone who's going to really increase the cool factor even more to the healing power of memes. It's dreams. It's Maitreya, formerly known as Mason Noyes. He's a Birmingham-born singer,
Oh.
songwriter who rose to fame on the X Factor UK. And following hiatus to focus on healing and alternative spiritual practices, he re-emerged as Maitreya, blending pop, soul, and Afro world influences into introspective, transformative music. Kelly, the cool factor.
I thought I was the cool factor, so I've clearly lost my place.
You're effortlessly
whatever,
iconic.
Maitreya,
Yeah.
we're gonna have to like
You can have
cool it
it. You can
out.
have it. I don't believe it. It's
Kelly's
fine.
effortlessly iconic. We'll just leave it there.
In my own dream.
Maitreya, you'll probably be doing your reality checks as many guests do who beam into our show. Forgive us. But can you share how dreams inspire your music, and also what you're working on now?
Yes. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for having me here. I'm really excited. And how do dreams inspire my music? Well, I think from my perspective now, anyway, this entire life is a dream. And from the Hindu perspective, we talk about life being Maya or a dream. And I think that as you start to connect with your soul more, the sleeping dream state and your waking state start to merge. And I think that you see that reality is far more, you can manipulate it far more than you could if you thought that reality was this dense, hard structure that we believe it to be. And I think that what's happening is that we are being called to integrate in a way that we can toggle between these different realities by will. I think this is the next step of our evolution. And so I guess that maybe I can use this as an example, but yeah, I think when it comes to music, there are signs talking to you all the time, and reality becomes completely full with symbolism when you start to integrate the dream world into your actual daily life and look for those signs. And we don't have to be confused by our dream world, because I think that when you actually see in waking life, it's talking to us plain and clear. And I think that when it comes to music, you're picking up on that symbolism and you're trying to make sense of abstract things and talk about the untalkable in that way. If I can say that. And I've been working on some projects with a very big channeler at the moment. I have a single coming out with someone that everybody knows, I think Lee Harris. And
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
and yeah, that's been a very interesting journey, and
Are
just
you
joined the
Maitreya as
museum.
cool as Kelly and I? I mean,
Not at
you
all.
know,
I'm a mere humble
yeah.
servant of this
He's
call.
got a little work to do, but he's getting there.
Lee
He's
Harris and
graduated.
Maitreya, Kelly, they've
Yeah,
got
that's
nothing on
amazing.
us, nothing.
Okay, so I just have to jump in and fan all over you. I love your visionary song, I Saw the Light. It's so beautiful, and it's almost as catchy
Kelly,
as our theme song,
almost,
Teresa.
almost.
But Teresa is the ultimate matchmaker. I'm kind of a matchmaker in training, but we love connecting people. So while you've got Barnett Bain here and JG Flowers, do you have any questions? Or, oh, look at that. You've got the, oh, that's so great. Any questions? Go ahead, Teresa.
Sorry, I missed that. You were saying, oh, look at that. What, why did you say, oh,
Oh,
I...
his shirt. His shirt has a flower on it.
Oh.
That's so cool.
I
So Maitreya, any questions or anything that you'd like to bounce around with these brilliant souls, brilliant, cool souls? I mean, you guys are way cooler than Teresa and I will ever dream of being.
Kelly, speak for yourself.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Bridget,
Richard, Maitreya.
talk here.
Well, I guess we are moving into a whole new episode of storytelling because the context of what we're living in and who we are is expanding. So our stories need to expand with that in order to mirror back to civilization what we're becoming, who we are. And so, Hollywood seems to recycle these same themes, but I think that we're going to move into a place now where our storytelling needs to evolve in order to explain to people the new human being that is coming into manifestation. So I guess we could start there as how these narratives are changing, because this was something that I heard from Heather Ainsworth, who is an astrologer, and she said that, we see Mars, for example, as this planet which is only to do with conflict or desire or action, but actually the end result of Mars is that once he is going out and being the warrior, that he actually brings the bounty back to the community. And then we have the rest of the story where Mars has his redemption, and he comes back and shares this with the world. So there are other parts of the story that are to come, and I'm wondering of how as artists we can start to mirror that back in a smart way to the collective.
So Barnett, to you, how is kind of this new humanity, the human 2.0 that's starting to reveal itself, is it inspiring some of your ideas for some of your upcoming projects?
It's funny we're talking about Mars. I'm actually doing Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus
Oh,
now,
wow.
as we speak,
What?
a romantic comedy. But, to your point,
That's going to
Maitreya,
be massive.
to your point
That's going to
about,
be huge.
the kinds of stories we tell, we're very familiar with domination stories, heroes and monomyths and heroic journeys. And these are all developmental. The psychologists among us would say it's developmental psychology, but there is a post-heroic story, and we could just start by stories that model what is it to provide safety for other people, and safety isn't bubble wrap; it's not weaponizing other people's vulnerabilities, and what does it look like when people prioritize making people feel that they're not going to be left? Everyone's a little afraid that people will leave them. Another one is, nothing shuts people down faster than embarrassment or humiliation. So what does it look like in storytelling where, when someone risks vulnerability, we guard that moment? It's not about becoming heroic and heroes. That is a strategy to overcome early patternings in life. And, let's begin to gradually, gently explore what does it look like when we feel like we're enough. Most of our stories are about, am I enough? Am I getting enough? Am I good enough? What do stories look like when we feel like we are enough?
Never enough time on this show. JJ, just a
That was
sentence
great.
or two before Kelly and I take it to break, because I'm conscious of the time. Have you any thoughts to add to that?
So many. There's just so
Just 30
it's one
seconds,
thing
please.
I would love to say is that the Z's, Lee Harris's Z's, really helped me with different
Yes.
parts of the spiritual dog. So that's a nice bit of synchronicity. They've helped me in my life. They're not my guidance. I have other guidance, but sometimes when I have a specific question, their energy does zoom in and it gives me. I love them. They're very helpful.
If people are listening, thinking, "Who are the Z's?" Well, you've got to follow Lee
Yeah.
Harris to find out. It's an entity he channels with divine wisdom. I don't know. All this talk about creativity and dreams has made me want to fall asleep right now and dream my next novel, Kelly.
I know our show is like it's curing insomnia globally. So I hope all of our 70K or so of you out there are regularly tuning in and having better sleep as a result of waking up with big dreams on your mind.
And don't forget, napping is also a great creative hack. Of Salvador Dali used that technique. So have a little
Yes.
nap now, for 30 or so seconds as we go into the second ad break.
All right, and your dream divas will be back in
Don't.
just a minute.
UK House Radio.
We'll be
The
right back.
station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The station that makes you feel good.
Your dream divas are back, and if it were possible to make this dream panel any more visionary, hello, we have an abundance feng shui author and expert and a fellow UK Health Radio host, Janine Lowe, is joining us.
Janine, what would you like to say to Barnett, JJ and Maitreya about the manifesting potential of dreams? And also, before you ask your question, serious congratulations on your
Janine.
Latest Amazon number one, Manifesting Your Way to Abundance bestseller. Serious congratulations, because you've also been a real entrepreneur and lived the dream and founded your own publishing house, Alley Cat.
It's a big
you
deal.
Are
Thank you. Thank you.
Respect.
Thank you so much. Alley Cat was came Alley Cat house came out of a dream, just so you know. I obviously had my books published by the publishers, and I had a dream. Well, I am a bit of a cat lover, just so you know. I take in rescue cats, as we know. And I just got linked up with someone we both love, Gavin, who came in as a consultant. And we have in the last 6 months created this. But we like, you know, when you're talking about daytime dreaming, when we're together, we just keep having different ideas, and then we'll go away and the next day it's like grown overnight. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm sorry.
Are you
saying.
Asking anyone in particular?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Barnett, Maitreya, JJ.
Teamwork.
Barnett, what do you think? Do you think you dream in the daytime, your ideas, when you think about what you want to advance?
I think you are only dreaming.
Yeah.
And waking up means waking up to the awareness that you are only ever, always dreaming.
I love you even more, Barnett.
That's what Maitreya said. And I can see the highly creative dream team, our guest presenters, are chomping at the bit to ask our guest questions. We've got two of them here today. We've got Margarita waiting in the wings. But first, let's start with our resident clinical psychologist, Dr. Amy Robbins, who is also host of the podcast Life, Death and the Space Between. What would you like to ask Barnett, Maitreya, JJ, Amy today?
I have, of course, always like 75 different questions that could go 75 different directions. But I'm going to ask kind of on the piggyback of Janine. Is that
Janine?
This notion of creativity and ideas being out there for those for who's ever open to it to sort of grab and pull down, that Barnett, Maitreya, JJ, like, maybe anyone could have accessed any of your ideas and brought them in. What do you think makes us open and available to that creative idea in that moment that allows us to bring it into reality?
Nice. JJ.
I would like to, yeah, there is a collective energy field, and often I'm sure like Barnett already knows what I'm going to say, is you will have a fabulous idea. I remember writing the Pirates of the Caribbean, like, I don't know, 2 years before it came out. So, I mean, things like that are constantly happening. So these wonderful ideas are operating in the spiritual realm as gifts to us. And when we're open to it, they will land and you'll become excited about it. If it was meant for you, you'll feel an inner excitement when you first confront the idea. And also, just for your audience, for everyone out there, one of the, and I'm sure Janine, your whole book is probably about this, is that it is so important to think positive. You would never say, "Oh, I'm not a creative person." That's crazy. If I said that every day, I would just be, I don't know, a house cleaner, which is very
Noble profession in itself.
yeah, and I could use a housekeeper, but oh yeah, there is.
We are everything in the dream.
The point is that really think positive, keep yourself open,
Yes.
think positive, and things will begin to shift.
Yeah, I
Wow.
do believe, just popping in there, JJ, that if you stay in that positive mode as much as you can, you always bring in the positive. As soon as we have a day where we think something negative, everything goes negative that day. So
Yes.
my answer to that is stop,
It's so true.
do something that's fun, like your
Yes.
job or whatever, and then move forward from there. That's a really good thing to say, yeah.
Right.
And what about to you, Maitreya, about the ideas, which are the ones that are for you? I mean, some creative people, there's so many ideas. How do you know what is for you? And you're muted, unmute. We can't, and we're going to interpret. I'm going to do an interpretive dance. There we go.
There are ideas that I think are gestating in the cloud, as it were, and then I think there are ideas that are uniquely waiting for your expression and for you to find a certain coherence with your soul. And then when that meets, the idea sort of goes boop, and it goes in. But I'm quite a emotional person, let's say. So I have plenty of states where I'm in negative states, but I think what's important about people exploring their creativity is that when you're in a negative state, you can just as much milk that creatively and come out with something incredible. And there's a story, I can't remember where I heard it from, but it really inspired me. But there was it was something to do with a Greek god or something, which he was known for melancholy. I think it was the god of melancholy or something like this. And he was and he was and he basically lived. He was cursed to live on Earth in this magical hut in the woods that was so beautiful and surrounded by trees. But he was in perpetual melancholy because he was separated from God. But within that melancholy, there was an incredible amount of juice and creativity that made him unbelievably creative. And I think there is something about feeling estranged from spirit also, which creates a devotional aspect in you, which can turn into some of the most creative things
Maitreya,
that
oh, I
exist. Thank
love.
you for that,
Because what you're saying is take your broken heart and turn it into art and have compassion for the negativity. And this is a
Oh.
point I'm going to bring in now another of our guest presenters, Margarita Mitchell Pollack, Sunday Times journalist and TV producer and former Miss UK. She hates it when I say that, but I'm so happy. Do you have a question for Maitreya, JJ Barnett, Margarita?
Thank you so much, Teresa. So my question's for Maitreya. Lovely to speak to you. I'm a journalist, so I would like to dive deep, if this is okay with you. I would like to talk about, if you're comfortable with it, the time that you contracted sepsis. And the reason I ask about that is because when I was researching you, I noticed that that may have been a catalyst for what you might call a spiritual awakening or an evolution. And I wondered what you thought about that, and has it occurred to you that Was there a blessing in disguise in that experience that you went through?
Nice.
You know, it definitely reshaped my perspective. I remember leaving the hospital after a week and really feeling like I had touched a place where I was with angels in the NHS. And I know people complain about the NHS a lot and things like this, but being in it, I don't know, I had a very specific experience where I felt like I was being taken care of. That was for sure. By these incredibly compassionate people that are in this environment, which is so testing, it's unbelievable. So the fact that they could hold their compassion whilst being in that environment was like, that was definitely a lesson from that for sure. There were other things that definitely caused the awakening, or the multiple factors, but I've always been somebody who has been interested in mortality, and that has always guided, I guess, guided me in my own practice and my own perceptions now, about the dream state, what happens to us after we die, and all of this stuff. So, I always like to cut straight to it when it comes to that. So, there's the remember death. That's memento mori, I think it
Memento
was.
mori. I have a friend
Yeah.
that wears a skull ring on his hand every day because of that very saying, to remember that we all die, so we must live as if we are here right now, which is the only moment we have.
Yeah, for sure. And you live with death on your shoulder in that sense, but not in a negative way, but in a way that when you breathe, you realize that this hologram is temporary, and that you are only here and now, and that you are way beyond who you think you are, and you have to entertain that you might be somebody that is completely different to who you are in this moment. Your personality. What's your personality? Your personality is half your mother and half your father and everybody else who you've met along the way. But what if you are completely different to that? What if your soul calls for something else, a new way to be? So you have to sort of let everything die. And there was a Buddhist monk that he says, dying every day, that you have to die every day.
And on
So.
a high note, Maitreya, death
Well, there is
is.
no death. It doesn't exist, so
But this
it's
show,
just
who
another
said that
room.
we can't be profound, Kelly?
We can be silly. We can cover the whole gamut. I'm
I'll be
curious
silly now. I'm
about
sorry.
Barnett. I
I
can
love
see
it.
Barnett kind of moving
But death
around.
is but a dream. I was thinking of that
Yeah.
quote as you were speaking. Thank you so much. Like daydreaming, there's just never enough time on this show. But starting with, let's
Yes.
start with you, Maitreya, then Janine, then JJ, and closing with Barnett.
Barnett.
Using a couple of keywords or sentences, as the show is winding up, and our producer Johan is going to pull the plug on us. Can you sum up why you feel dreams, like our beloved pets, are our best friends?
Your
Maitreya.
dreams are you. This life is a dream, and it's all you. It's your energy. You are the dream itself. The dream is happening within you. It's not happening outside of you. And so I think that when that sort of realization clicks, the whole world opens up for you. And you start to conversate with life as if it is a best friend. And I think to finish on like a Rumi quote, he says, act as if life is rigged in your favor. So
I
I
love
think that
that.
that's a good one.
Awesome.
Janine, thank
How do you follow that?
How do you follow Rumi? I know.
I know. I'm so
And
impressed.
Maitreya.
He said he's everything I believe in. So
Yeah.
can I just say ditto to Mutra and just say that? Because actually, I believe that we are living our dreams all the time. It's when we're tapping into it. It's learning how to tap into it. And I think creative is the answer. When you get that feeling, then you need to listen to it, whether you're in your dreams or out in your
I
dreams.
love that,
That's
Janine, because the
great.
movie of Go A Ghost came to my mind. Ditto. Okay.
Ditto. Yes.
JJ.
JJ.
Well, just thinking of your audience, one really fun practice is Before you go to sleep, invite your guides to show up in your dreams. Do it three times, and I promise you will have a dream that is pretty powerful.
Thank
That's
you.
great. Barnett Bain, what about you?
Oh my goodness. Well, we pretend that we're in the world, and we could also pretend that we are the world. We pretend we are in a dream. We pretend, we wake up sometimes in a dream. We become lucid dreamers. We can become lucid livers. What does that
Oh, I
mean?
love that. That's
Lucid
beautiful.
livers.
It's
Wow.
very dreamlike to see the whole world as within us. And so we would be a better friend if we treated ourselves like the way that we would in a dream, knowing that everybody is us. So why would we be other than friendly and kind? Because it
There you
all comes
go.
back.
If you woke up in a dream,
It is.
what would happen to your relationship with others? And so what happens if we pretend, if that's what you want to play that game, that life is also a dream? How would that change your relationship with others if you thought they were
What
you?
a dream show. We've traveled through creativity, friendship, and the magic of dogs, proving that dreams really can become reality. Although we're still waiting for our Dream Divas Sing the Classics album to become reality, Kelly. I'm not sure what's going
But
on there.
yeah, on the dream, I mean, it's happening. We've won all kinds of awards
Yeah,
in the dream
in our
space.
mind,
It's yeah, exactly.
the world's got to wake up to our true destiny. But we always
exactly.
have our theme song.
Oh, we do always have our theme song. Thank God, that iconic song, the stuff that musical dreams are made of. So, Sir Paul McCartney's Yesterday's Got Nothing on Us. No offense, Paul. So, on that note, thank you everybody for joining us. Thank you for co-creating this wild dream. We don't want this to end, but Johan, take it away where dreams may come.
Every symbol and a story leaves a breadcrumb trail. Behind the swollen end of pictures that awaken heart and mind. What looked like an ending was a doorway all along, and every strange dream journey is teaching me to be strong. There's a compass in the chaos, there's a purpose in the stream. Every answer starts to miracle.